we're into a series, and of course that series has been going on for a little while now, and I sort of keep looking to the Lord for maybe the next thing, but I thought I had a few glimpses of it. We're still into this series on being battle ready. I can only imagine it's because to the Lord it's very important that his people are ready for battle. Just talking about it again this morning in the prayer room, just how that this revelation of the need to be a people that know how to pray is so important. A people that realize that what's going on around them is just not just, oh, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church, etc., etc., but actually there's a battle raging in the heavenlies, and that we get a greater understanding of what our part is in that battle that's going on. Of course, this series has been very much designed to lift that revelation, to get us to another place of understanding. We recognize that we're called to a battle that's not a physical one. It's a spiritual one that requires spiritual inputs for us to battle correctly. It's a spiritual battle. And after detailing the armor of God that we should have on, that Paul talks about prayer. The armor, as you could say, prepares us for what we should be doing and how we should be living as believers in this day and age. We just read this again out of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 down there to 17. It says, therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, in verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's talking about battle. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And look what it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We all should have made connection by now in this series that the battle we are to be ready for is all about standing for truth and being in prayer about truth, about speaking God's word and praying God's word. By now we should have understood or gained an appreciation of the way that God has equipped us to join his battle in prayer, to be about the purposes of his kingdom on earth. So very important, which is his will being done on earth. And we've been talking about that. We've been touching in on that. Not our will being done, but his will being done. And so very important. 1 John 5:14, we've already looked at this, but our confidence in the battle comes from knowing that if we ask, pray anything according to his will, we know he hears us. Why? Because we have aligned ourselves to his will through his word. We have done that. We've aligned our purposes with his purposes through his word. So very important that we get a hold of that. You know, our life in Christ is very much a process of alignment to his will, to his purposes. The first alignment is so very important. It's to his right standing. It's to the place of being right with him. That's that gift of righteousness that we receive when we first come to Christ and first express our faith, believe to receive him, to his right standing. The second is to his Holy Spirit. And of course, that's all about aligning our lives to the Spirit's leadings. You know, that leading of the Spirit that we can become sensitive to, that we can tune in for. Every aspect of our life can be something that we could be looking to the Lord for a guidance on and instruction in. So very important. And of course, the third, which comes out of the second, being led of his Spirit, is the third is to his purposes, kingdom purposes, his will for our lives and for those around us. And of course, that's wonderful when we start actually getting so engaged with the heart of God that we begin to see his will for other people's lives as well and become an instrument of righteousness as we bless others, as we reach out to others, as we work into their lives, God's purposes. Not forcefully, not by getting someone into submission to what you believe is God's will for their life, but understanding that God's leading you maybe to speak a word in season into someone's life. So very important that we start to align our lives for these purposes. I think I go back to sitting on that bed in 1986, and I think to myself, you know, sitting on that bed where the Lord gave me a vision of a church without a pastor. And I just come into a church that was teaching some of these things on prayer and how you could, you know, submit your life to God and that God would lead you and guide you. And there I was in this particular event, open vision. The Lord just snapped open a vision for me of a church. They're all sitting there without a pastor. And I started to wonder. I said, well, Lord, why are they all crying? And he said to me, because they didn't have a pastor. And I said, well, why haven't they got a pastor? And it was a silly question, because the Lord was talking to me about why they didn't have a pastor. And he said, because you didn't get your act together. And so it was a vision that was shown to me, is that it didn't have to be that way, but that was how things were going to be if I kept on the way I was going. And I tell you, there was such a change. I started to realize that God had purpose for my life, that I had to align myself now with that purpose. So very important. And of course, it was in probably as I made the adjustments, as I started to do the things that I knew were right in the sight of the Lord, as I started to walk toward the fulfillment of such a vision as that. Didn't know when it could happen, didn't know when or where or how, didn't know. But as I started to listen to the voice of the Lord and just start taking those steps of faith toward it, it's amazing to see that after 6 years, I actually stood in a pulpit in front of a group of people that was just like that vision. And I was their new pastor. We were having our first service at the Stanthorpe Civic Centre in Queensland. And we were there for 8 years or so and built a really nice little church there in Stanthorpe, Queensland, and loved the people. And of course, the season that God had us there was just a wonderful season. And Rose and I sort of still look upon that season with quite a lot of affection and appreciation, because it was something, we knew it was something that God did. And what I'm sort of saying to you is that third part about alignment to his purposes is to get where God wants you to be, to get where he has purpose for you, comes out of prayer, comes out of speaking God's word. And the most of the adjustment that I made at that time was I started to be a person of the word. I started to pray God's word. I started to be a person of faith. We're going to hear a little bit about that this morning. But, you know, following his purposes for our life is so important. Rach, would you like to just share a little testimony there? And this is about following God's purpose for your life, not just for your life, but for others as well.
So Pastor asked me to share this little testimony from yesterday. So I was just doing my shopping at Coles, had to get a couple of things, and this lady was just sitting by herself outside the shops. You know, I'm always pretty chatty to people, so I said, "How are you going?" "Good, thanks." So, but then the Lord said to me, "Go and sit with her." So I sat with her for about half an hour just chatting, and she just told me her story, and so I was listening to her story. Then I noticed her, she had a bandage on her knee and on her other ankle. And I said, "Oh, can I pray for your ankle? What's going on?" And she said, "Oh, it's broken. It's been broken since April." And her knee had been injured for, I think, 20 years, she said. Anyway, I first prayed for her knee. Nothing happened. I prayed twice more. Nothing happened. But I prayed for her ankle, and then she's starting to go like this. She goes, and she took the bandage off, and she said, "Normally there's a lump there where the bone has, like, because it was broken. Normally there's a lump there where the broken bone would stick out." It's totally healed. She said, "I have no pain. Nothing. Totally gone." And yeah, praise God, hey. So he's so good. And you know, I could have walked past her. I could have thought, "Oh, I need to get back to the kids, you know, busy mum, all that stuff." But we take our time, even just a little bit of time. Who hasn't got 5 minutes to spend with someone? God will do a mighty work through you. And if you're not seeing healing, if you're not seeing people come to the Lord, maybe we need to speak to them more, because it's only when we do step out that we see these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Rach. I tell you, and you know, we all have an excuse, and no one would argue it's not a good excuse so often not reach out to someone, not to try and be that person that reaches someone's heart right where they are at the time that they're there. And as we can see, when we do, God shows up. Isn't that a powerful testimony? God shows up. Thanks, Rach. Appreciate that word, and of course that encouragement as well for us all to be out there thinking about that. And by the way, was it hot outside? Yeah, it was very hot outside. So no. It was a pool of chocolate by the time you were finished, yeah. Well, I believe small sacrifice for that dear lady, amen? But it is sometimes there's something that, you know, as we just step out, I tell you, God will meet us where we are, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to continue on with this series here, but I tell you, this is how we fight our battles. It's through prayer. We saw last week, this is the spirit of faith, confidence in his word, and of course, his word in our mouths. That's the way it works. The truth that God does watch over his word to perform it, that his word will not return void, but will accomplish that for which it is sent. Praying and saying, decreeing and declaring, that's the lifestyle. This is how I fight my battles. You know, we sing the song and it should resonate in our hearts. And when it does, understand the Lord's calling us to that lifestyle of prayer and fighting the good fight of faith. The Apostle Paul speaks of the same spirit of faith. He says, therefore we believe and therefore we speak. We believe and we speak. And as we saw last week, Ephesians 6:16, is it's that shield of faith in action that we see. It's that faith that speaks that's so important. And of course, we'll just go back there just to see it again. It's above all the other parts of the armour when it says above all. Taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, if the enemy can get your shield down, your shield of faith down, he has taken away your ability to believe and speak the word in the context of what faith is believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth, saying the word of God. If he can get your faith, shield of faith down, and remember, the fiery darts are his lies and deception. So we're no longer in that place of speaking the word, saying what God's word says, no longer believing that. That's the result of it. Jesus very much taught his disciples to say and pray. We have to see that our word, our doing the word is primarily in our saying and doing the word. Saying and praying the word. The truth we should all comprehend is that Jesus taught us to release our faith with words as a means of releasing God's power into impossible situation, to see God's will being done on the earth. In Mark 11, Jesus uses a mountain as a picture of something that cannot be shifted by natural influence, by our own ability, by our own might. He uses that. The mountain is a picture of the impossible. We should recognize that. We can just go there for a minute. Mark 11, 22 and 24, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. One translation there says, have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Good word, good teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Among the truths to receive in this passage is we can have faith in God, or as one translation says, and I mentioned it, have the God kind of faith. God, when he wants something done, he speaks words. And of course, so if you're taking notes, number one, saying and praying is our job. Saying and praying is our job. A lot of Christians live this sort of lifestyle where everything's under God's control, where God's just doing everything and that we just, whatever he's sort of meeting out, whatever he's putting out is what we, you know, are to deal with in life. This being battle ready gives us a realization, and particularly scriptures like this one, helps us to understand that he's actually given authority to us to speak the word, to speak into situations, to actually start saying what he's saying. And that's the revelation we need to get a hold of. Saying and praying is our job. If the Lord wants something done, he sends his word. His word is spoken. And watch out, he wants to use your mouth to speak that word. He wants you to speak his word into situations. And not just kind of, oh well, as we say, the Doris Day doctrine, que sera, sera, whatever will be, our future's not ours to see, que sera, sera. God wants us to speak his word into situations and not just stand there and go, oh well, whatever God's will is, just submit to this. You might be submitting to what the devil wants with that attitude. This is what we've got to watch out for. Jesus commends the faith of the centurion because the centurion understood the authority of the spoken word. Very important. He said to Jesus, speak the word and my servant will be made whole. He understood it. And Jesus commended his faith for it. It's well worth us just having another quick look at that. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came and pleaded with him, Lord, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible agony. I will go and heal him, Jesus replied. Good, this is going well. And then the centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. For I myself am a man under authority, and my soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes, and to another come and he comes. I tell my servant to do something and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Wow. We need to see that great faith that Jesus commended here is a direct result of understanding the authority of God's word. And of course, as a result of that understanding, we ought to be very, very careful with our words. We ought to be watching what we speak, watching over the words, you know, setting a watch over our lips, as the scripture says. You know, they are designed by God to be powerful when we speak God's word. Very, very powerful. And let's face it, we've all been guilty of speaking the problem and not the answer. Speaking how it is rather than how we want it to be, according to God's word. Or how we'd like it to be, according to God's word. Speaking about the mountain rather than speaking to the mountain. We've all been down that street. And of course, it doesn't get us out of the situation. It doesn't actually bring us into victory at all. But the Bible tells us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's a lifestyle that we're to live here on the earth, this side of heaven. I just want to go back to it again in verse 23. Look what Jesus says. He said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. Not what God says, he says. He's saying what God says. So believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So there's this speaking and believing that go hand in hand. There's the believing and there's the speaking of it. And of course, it brings us to my second point, which is that doubt is a showstopper. Doubt is a showstopper. Doubt causes us to waver in the midst of battle. Doubt's the problem. Doubt is like faith in that it is released with words. So again, I mentioned last week how the first thing I learned as a new believer was that when I started to walk in victory, was I started to realise that I had to watch the words that were coming out of my mouth. That I actually realised that my biggest problem was right under my nose. Who's been there? Just gotten to a place where you realise that you're actually talking yourself into problems all the time with the way that you're speaking. Not speaking the God's word, but speaking the problem all the time. It terminates the release of God's power. And you know, there's times when you see grace and mercy and all of that, but I'm talking in general. God wants us to walk up or get up to this place of walking according to his ways, according to his kingdom. Here's a little bit of William Shakespeare on doubt. Our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. A little bit of William Shakespeare this morning, just to remind us that doubt is a problem and it can be like a traitor in our life when we give ourselves to doubt and worry and fear. We're no longer slaves to fear. Amen? We are children of God. And I like that song particularly, Jen Rev. I must admit, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that I came out of church on Sunday morning and all through the week, I couldn't get that song out of my head. You know when you get some of those songs that just get stuck? It was replaying. It was replaying until I eventually realised that God was actually washing me with the water of the word in that regard. You know, no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Isn't that good? So, you know, don't think that we're just filling in time by singing songs on Sunday morning. This is to get it into your spirit, you know, to get it alive in you, you know, that we worship. And there's good word in there as well. Doubt is so often the result of what we see or imagine. Looking at the wrong thing can get you into a lot of trouble. In other words, what you focus on can actually create the doubt. If you're just looking at the problem all the time, looking at it, it'll eventually end up to be something you begin to believe, and therefore, worst of all, something you begin to speak. You start to speak the problem, not the answer. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. So our walk needs to, in the being battle ready, needs to be a walk of faith by what we hear God's word, one step at a time if it has to be, but just the walk of faith and hearing what God is saying and speaking that. Peter walked on the water by faith, didn't he? He got out of that boat based on what God had said. He said, if it's you, bid me to come, one translation said. And so Jesus said, come. So he got out of the boat and walked on water. No, he got out of the boat and he walked on faith. It was that step of faith. And he kept on walking on the water until what happened?
Doubt.
Thanks, John. Doubt. And it came because he started to look at the wind, started to look at the waves. He started to get his eyes off, not Jesus. Jesus wasn't the point that he was, oh, if I can just keep my eyes on Jesus. No, it was, the word was to come. If he could just keep his eye on that word, come, he would have walked right up to Jesus. I don't know what they would have done. Maybe walked back to the boat and showed the other guys how to do it. I'm not sure, you know. But as that great saying says, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat Christian. Amen. You know, we ought to see ourselves as those ones that are willing to get out and go on God's word. And sometimes there's this sense of risk that goes with that, and that's okay. And I just really wanted to just press into a real practical aspect just as we finish today. Number three, faith must be mixed with patience. Because if it's not doubt that we fall down with, it's usually the next thing that comes along, it's patience. Is that we're not willing to quite, you know, go the distance. And of course, the struggle with doubt is so often, is that, you know, in our experience, is that we begin to struggle with our patience, or what I call the time lapse. The time lapse between when we pray and when we can say, there it is. There it is, that thing that we've been believing for, that what we've been praying for. What we do in that time lapse is so important. We talked previously in this series about how we should give thanks and give praise. That's how we fill that time lapse. We certainly don't get anxious about, well, where is it? I've prayed, where is it? Like, we want it now. Saying the word is so important. Staying with saying the word day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. What about staying with it for years? Have you got something that you're staying with for years? You know, we can have those things that we're still believing for years later, and it's not unbiblical. Abraham believed God for God's word to him for a child for 25 years. Wow, 25 years. Can you imagine believing for something to be, you know, come to fruition in your life for 25 years? And he didn't really do that so well. I'm sure there's a few times where he thought, well, I'm just going to start again and get my faith out there. And there was, you know, he had a few little things sort of crop up that got him off track. But the power to release faith-filled words is a power given to every believer, every Christian. But we're not given a time frame when we actually do pray and release that faith. We're not given a time frame. So faith must be mixed with patience. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish. That means lazy. But you do not become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It's faith and patience that they work together. Very important. Faith for moving mountains needs to be released with words and then maintained with patience. Just putting it out there and just speaking it, but then also staying with it and seeing the fruit of it. I like this passage about Abraham because it shows that faith works with patience. The fulfillment of God's word to Abraham took decades, and his faith was unwavering. He got to the point where his faith was unwavering. He was no longer wavering in any way. And get this, Abraham got to the place where he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. It was a learning curve for him. He actually continued to walk in it, continued to walk in that promise of God for his life. And it got to the point where faith was mixed with patience. In verse 19 it says, and not being weak in faith. What does that tell you? You can be weak in faith. It tells us that if it tells us nothing else. It says, and not being weak in faith. Church, we need to get strong in faith. And this is what this message is about. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That tells me there's something too, when you're in the midst of between when you have prayed and when you're actually in the place of seeing the fruition and the outcome of your prayer, the answer of your prayer, you need to be giving glory to God, giving praise to God. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, say fully convinced, fully convinced. I tell you, that's a place that we need to get to. Get to a place of being fully convinced. In other words, there's no other alternative outcome as far as you're concerned. You're just fully convinced. Fully convinced that what he has promised, he was able to perform. Abraham got to that place. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Good word. Good place for us all to get to is to that place of being fully convinced. And not only that, but being determined that when we pray, if it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, we're not going to give up on it. That we're going to keep praying and we're going to keep thanking the Lord for the fulfillment of that. He's at work, that he's doing it. And that our patience is keeping our faith out there. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to close, but I tell you, church, I'd really love a spirit of faith just to start coming on people in a new and fresh way. When I say a spirit of faith, it's the same spirit that was on Joshua and Caleb that God said was different to everybody else's. That spirit of faith that gets people not just praying religiously, but praying with real fervency, believing in their heart, confessing with their mouth, praying and saying, decreeing and declaring, that same spirit of faith. And I just ask that just as we close today, maybe we just put our hands up and just lift them to the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you today. We thank you today, Lord God, for your word, Lord God, and we thank you for its entrance into our lives, Father. Lord, we thank you that as faith comes as we hear your word, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for new levels, new places, Father God, that your people come to. New dimensions, Father God, of operating in our faith, Lord, as we speak your word, as we believe your word, as we stand in patience, Lord, to see your word come to pass. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that a spirit of faith would just come upon your people in a fresh and new way. Lord, that they would be strengthened, Lord, strengthened at this time, Lord, in your life and in your power, Father. Lord, that your people would see the outcome of your word, Lord God, more and more, Father. And Lord, that we would align ourselves, Father, that we would align ourselves with your Holy Spirit. Lord, to hear your word, to hear what you're saying, Father. We say faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word, Lord. And Lord, that we would also hear, Father God, your purposes and plans, Father. And Lord, not just for our own lives, but also for those that are around us, Lord. We pray today, Lord God, that you would meet us where we are, Lord. And bring us to a new place in you, a new strong place in you, a strengthened place in you. That, Lord God, that we would speak the answer, Father. That we would not be found speaking the problem. Lord, that we would be a people that would speak to the mountain and not about the mountain. Lord, we would be those strong ones, Father. Those strong ones that are strong in faith, not wavering, Father. Lord, we pray these things today in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, and help us. Help us, Lord, take us into and through fresh times of consecration, submission to your will and purposes for our lives, Lord. Lord, it's not something that man can make us do, Father. It's only what you can do, Lord. Encourage in our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name today. I give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Just before we sing this last song, I just want to make an invitation that if you'd like prayer after the service, I'm really, really happy for you to come down and just we'll just lay hands on you. Whatever it is, whatever your need is, we're happy to do that. I just encourage you to come down, whether it be sickness or you just need an encouragement or just a fresh impartation. Just really love you to come on down. Don't hold back. Don't miss out on what God could have for you just because you want to step out by faith. Don't hold back. Don't find a reason for not come. But I also want to make an invitation for anyone that's out there today who say, well, you know, I've been hearing this about this God that's so personal, that will speak to you, that will be in your life. And I just want to encourage you, if you're here today, you've never prayed the prayer of acceptance, never prayed the prayer of salvation, never actually asked Jesus to come into your life. If you're here today and you're in that place, I'd love to pray for you this morning. It's a simple prayer that we pray. It's called the prayer of salvation. And it's very much about what we've been talking about today. It's very much the starting place where we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead and that he died on the cross for our sins. We believe that and we speak that and something happens. A very powerful thing happens. In fact, we know that translation happens, that God is able to remove us out of the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it's a beautiful thing to behold and it's a beautiful thing to experience. I want to encourage you, if you haven't prayed that prayer before, encourage you to come on down the front after we sing this song and we'll pray with you. But let's go out with a song of worship today. We'll be morning tea afterwards, so don't rush off. But let's go out worshiping the Lord today.